Do you ever happen to catch yourself and your mind wandering aimlessly, sometimes in the future, sometimes in past memories? We like to imagine and foresee future things in order to be ready for them to come. And sometimes we look at the future with fear and anxiety because we feel threatened by difficult scenarios. Other times we dwell on the past. We like to bring back to mind good memories from our early years. We like to imagine and bring back those scenes in order to re-experience the pleasure and the good feelings that we experienced. Or sometimes we look at the past with sorrow for things we did that we should have not been doing. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because if we want to live a purpose-driven life, we need to be thinking about the future, make plans in order to face the future. At the same time, it is good sometimes to look back at past events, re-experience those joys in our mind, and learn from our past, from our past mistakes, in order not to do them again. I personally do this all the time. I find myself wandering in the future. You know, God willing, I'll be ordained a priest next June, so I'm thinking at the moment the bishop will place his hands on me and make me a priest. I'm thinking about my first Mass. I'm thinking about when the day will come when I can go back to Italy and visit my family, spend time with them, see again my mountains. I come from the north of Italy where there are a lot of mountains, and I don't really like the Midwest platitude. Anyway, all these are future things, right? Or sometimes I look back at the past. Maybe some of you know that I've been part of Franciscan community. We used to come here to Mass every now and then, but that community disbanded last May. And sometimes I'm there thinking, man, had I not done that thing, or maybe had I done this other thing, this community would be still existing. I've always thought I would have been a Franciscan for my whole life, but here I am now a diocesan deacon. So definitely, it's not necessarily a bad thing to think of the future or at the past. The problem is when we do this to the detriment of the present moment. Because it's in the present moment that we encounter our Lord. We are asked to be faithful to Him and to His mandate now and here, today, not tomorrow. We can't do anything about the past anyway. And so the man of the parable today comes to shake us out of this time traveling in the future or this dwelling on our memories and says, "Son or daughter, go out and work in the vineyard today. Go out, work in the vineyard today." Out from where? He's calling out of ourselves, out of our mind, right? When we think constantly about the future, the present, we're always wrapped into our own plans, into our own memories, and we risk not to be available for the Lord and for our brothers. Second, he says, work in the vineyard. So we go out of ourselves so that we can be about the building of the kingdom of God, working in his vineyard. And third, he wants us to do this today. Work in the vineyard today. Yes, because we are only responsible for what we do at this moment, today. The future has its own troubles, and he will take care of itself. But God never asks of us something that he is not himself willing to do first, something that he has not already done first for us. The parable today speaks of two sons, right? But there are, to be honest, three sons. One is not mentioned. The Son is the Son of God, is Christ himself, who did say yes to the will of his Father from the very beginning and was faithful until the very end in carrying it out. He came out of himself, out of the divinity, right, the Trinity, so to say, and became man. While remaining God, he took on our human flesh, our own humanity. He took on this humanity to work in the vineyard of his Father, to pour out himself for our salvation. And he, by dying and rising for our sake, introduced us in the today in which God lives. As you know, God doesn't live in time. He's outside of time, right? He's the creator of time and lives outside of it. When Jesus died and rose, he opened the gates for us to enter into this time of God. He initiated the day of the Lord, the final day. So when we come to Mass, today is, well, it's Saturday, but it's really Sunday already, right? We come to celebrate the Eucharist, which is a celebration and the representation of the sacrifice of Christ, the Paschal mystery of our Lord. And when we come to church, by faith, we are introduced into this day of the Lord. Of course, our life, our senses don't experience this, but our faith does. And so with the eyes of faith, we enter into the day of the Lord, and we make commemoration, and we relive the passion of our Lord, and his resurrection as well. So when Father King takes the host and the chalice with wine in his hands and says, "This is my body, this is my blood, which is poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." It's not Father who says those words, it's Jesus himself. And here is where we see Jesus, the third Son, giving us the example of what we're supposed to do. We celebrate his incarnation, his coming out of himself, out of his divinity to become man. We see him pouring out himself and working in the vineyard, giving his life for us. The only thing we are supposed to do is to receive him worthily in our hearts in Holy Communion so that we have that strength, because without his help, we wouldn't be able to be about what the Father asks of us. But with his help, we are. And so we are about the building up of the kingdom of God. And we are enabled to do this and to be faithful to this mission today. Because today is the day of our salvation. Today is the favorable time. As we enter into the liturgy of the Eucharist today, let us gather all these thoughts into our mind and our hearts and beg our Lord for the grace to do his Father's will and our Father's will, and to do it today, right now, here, wherever the Lord puts us in our lives.